God became man. Why did He do that? We talked last week about, you know, the cost that Christ paid in the incarnation to become flesh, to give up the glories of heaven and become man. Why would He do that? He came because there was something that we could not afford that only He could provide. He came to give us eternal life, and it was so valuable, so costly, that only God could afford it. I want to talk this evening just for a few moments about free. What does it mean that something like that would be free? When we hear about something free, at least I do, I get a little skeptical. When I just hear the word free, if you see it on TV or you see it in a magazine ad or something, anything that says free, you know, the skeptical part of me says, no, it's not free. Someone's spending money on this ad, and so somehow there's a trade, really. You know, and they're expecting to come out ahead. That we take something free, but someone's going to spend money, and they're going to... So free has an angle, has a catch to it. Or sometimes, I suppose, free could be something that's invaluable, I mean, not valuable, something that isn't worth anything to anybody else. This week, Pastor Jim was cleaning out a closet, stuff accumulates you don't use anymore in a church, and we came across an overhead projector. Anybody remember those? It was right next to the 8-track tape player. No, we didn't have one of those. But so what do you do with it? It still works, and didn't want to throw it in the dumpster, so I put it on Craigslist, and within an hour or so, someone called. It was under free stuff, you know. And he came by and picked it up. He was going to project pictures on bedroom walls so he could draw pictures for his kids. Okay. But free either has a catch, or free means it's cheap. But that's not this kind of free. This gift of God at Christmas, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, wasn't free. It was costly to Christ, but it was free to us. And so that's the part we've got to understand. When we give gifts, even among in a Christmas gift kind of a way, they're free, but sometimes among peers they're an exchange. You know, you're just trading stuff. But you know who really understands free? Our little children. They're too young to have their minds corrupted, you know, the skepticism that you and I have. And so they have no problem with the concept of something being free. And that's a good thing. In fact, Jesus said, we have to become like children. We have to become like children. Why was He saying that? Jesus was saying it about eternal life. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change, that's a hard word, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was saying something that He knew to be radical. And in fact, all over the world, religion, by any name, seems to have consistently taught that the way you get eternal life in heaven is you earn it. You got to somehow qualify by being good enough, religious enough, jumping enough through enough spiritual hoops, somehow, that if you do enough, you qualify for heaven. Jesus disagrees with religion. Because Jesus says, you have to change the way you think and be like a little child, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty sobering statement. And Jesus could make that statement because He was the one who was going to make salvation possible. Romans 6:23 tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. But free means somebody paid for it, and it's through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the part we have to understand. How could he offer it for free? What was the cost? Well, the cost takes us from the manger, of course, to the cross. It's free to us because Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous, that would be Christ. For the unrighteous, that would be us. To bring you to God. So the way that you can be right with God is only through Jesus Christ. And it's only through the fact that He died for sins once for all. It's not something you keep doing over and over or add something to over and over. It's once for all. See, the baby Jesus becomes Jesus on the cross. And the story that we just watched with the kids acting out, that makes you say, ah, because it's so cute and pretty and beautiful, becomes the story that none of us smiled or laughed at if you watched The Passion of the Christ some years ago. What ties together the beauty of the story of His birth with the agony of His death? What ties that together is that both of them were essential for God to offer us the free gift of salvation. Because on the cross, Jesus was paying the penalty for our sin. Here's the cost. The wages of sin is death. There's a price. Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So who paid the price? Do I pay it or does Christ pay it? That's the bottom line. He's the one that suffered death for us. And there was a judicial act by which all of the sins of all people of all time were placed upon Christ. And on the cross, He paid the cost. And because He paid it out, the receipt is stamped paid in full. That's why this offer is valid. You can have the free gift of eternal life. One of the most beautiful verses telling that story is this one. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's kind of the story from top to bottom. We've got to understand it starts with the love of God. He took the initiative. The reason why you give a young child a gift is not because he can in any sense pay it back, but because you love him. And it could be that you have a child that was more on the naughty list than the nice list most of the year. And yet you still give it because of love. That's the way God loves us. The way we normally think of love is that it's conditional. And that's why I think so often we believe that salvation is something you earn. You got to somehow qualify. You got to be on the nice list. We don't tend to like failures. We can't imagine loving someone who is consistently failing if that's what God was doing. Let me just be real practical here. Your love for the Packers, if you can use love and Packers together, did it go down just a little notch, you know, last week with losing them, losing the game to the Chiefs? And what if they lost to the Bears tomorrow night? Oh, yeah. Where's the love, okay? And let me ask you this. What if this year they were 1-13 instead of 13-1? Now who's buying stock in the Packers? See, our love is so conditional. You know what we are before God? If it's 1-13, we're lucky. When we compare ourselves to a holy God. And yet God loved us with all of our sin, with all of our failure. He knows all of our hidden sins. He knows all the hidden thoughts and attitudes towards people we might smile at, you know? All the unforgiveness, all the bitterness. He knows everything about us. And yet this remains true, that He gave His one and only Son to die and pay the sin that whatever it is that crosses your mind about yourself. And then He turns around and says, since Christ paid the penalty, you can have eternal life if what? Whoever believes in Him. Whoever believes in Him does not perish and go to hell, but has eternal life. So that is the question. What does it mean to believe in Christ? It means to depend upon Christ. Often we use the word believe to think you hope or wish or I believe the Packers will win tomorrow. But believe is not, that's not how this is used. It's used to say, I am trusting in something. Just like you're trusting in the chair you've got right now to hold you up, you need to choose to sit down spiritually and trust in what Christ provided for you on the cross. He paid your sin. You can't pay it yourself. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says much the same. It says, it is by grace you are saved. Grace means you don't deserve it, but you get something good anyhow. By grace you have been saved through faith. That's the same expression as whoever believes it, by trusting in Christ. And this not from yourselves, it's, there it is, a gift. Gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And yet religion over and over and over and over and over says, no, it is by good works. If you do enough good works, then you have it. No, it's a gift. That's not what God said. It's not what Jesus said. It's a gift. So the question that is before you is if you have never received the gift, you have to decide if you're going to accept it. A kid has no trouble with that. A kid just, you give them a gift, you unwrap it, and that's great. Mom and Dad pay for it. I'll take it. And we have to become, Jesus said, like a child. So the question, if you're going to have the gift, is to answer this question, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? Let me show you three circles. Some of you have seen this before. It gives us kind of three mental options. Remember Jesus said you have to change, you become like a little child? So if you recognize yourself in one of these circles in the way you have been thinking and believing, you have to consider whether Jesus was talking to you about changing and becoming like a child. Are you trusting in Christ that He died for your sins? That's what we've just read. Or could it be that you have been like this second circle, trusting in works? By works, I mean anything that is effort on your part, anything that you're trying to do to qualify by your own, you know, jumping through some spiritual hoop, being baptized, something. Are you trusting maybe in both? You're thinking, I'm just going to cover all the bases. I'm trusting in Christ and good works. You know, I just want to make sure I'm covered. If those are the three options, I don't know what other one there would be. What has the Bible just said? Which one is free? This one is free to us because we're trusting that Christ paid for our sins on the cross. This one is me. And that's not what the Scripture has said. And really, this is me yet too, because I am the deal breaker. If I don't do good works, if I don't qualify, then it's out. So you're not really trusting in Christ at all. Is this a night that you might receive the free gift of salvation? Because you can do that if you just, if you understand it, if God uses the Scriptures to open your mind, you go, really? It's free? I got to just change and be like a child? Yes. And you can receive the gift of salvation by trusting in Christ. And so I would challenge you this evening, if you haven't made that decision, to do so. You know, one of the last verses in the Bible says, it was Jesus making that statement. It was the story of history. It's the story of why He came to earth. He said, come, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Sound too good to be true? In this case, it is true. It is good. Because it's God, and it was the gift that He gave when God became man.